This is the Good Things Guy podcast with myself, Brendan DeCue, South Africa's very own Good Things Guy. I'm on a mission to change what the world pays attention to. I truly believe that there's good news all around us, and I spend my time hunting down and reporting on the best good news stories from South Africa and the world. In the Good Things Guy podcast, you'll meet these everyday heroes and hear their incredible stories. Welcome back to the Good Things Guy podcast. So a couple of weeks ago, my mom phoned me and we were chatting, and she mentioned to me that I must listen to this podcast on burnout. And I nearly fell off my chair. I've been podcasting for a decade now, and my mom's never used the word podcast. I didn't even know that she knew what a podcast was. Not that I'm being ageist or anything like that. She's just my mom, right? Like technical stuff, and she's that person, and I help her with all the tech stuff. But she's never mentioned podcasts. So she mentioned that I should listen to this podcast about burnout. And I was so intrigued by what she was saying. And I found it so hilarious that my mom was speaking about this technological thing that I'd never heard of. I was like, Mom, where did you hear about podcasting? And she was like, well, you podcast. And I've known about it for years. I listen to podcasts. And I was like, you're the coolest mom ever. I then posted that up onto my Twitter. And I guess Twitter is a space where we don't have enough words. And sometimes we don't use our words correctly. And there were some people that were upset with me because they felt that I was being horrible to my mom, when actually it was just a really sweet moment between a mother and son. So as I do, I let that sort of simmer in my mind, and I wrote about it in a better way the next day. So I put it on Facebook, and I spoke about this really loving moment between a mom and son, and how cute it was that she knows what podcasts are. But I mentioned burnout. And a lot of my friends and followers, and they were all like, oh, so can you tell us what this burnout podcast was? Where is it? And I was like, I think you missed the gist of this. My mom's not great at technology, so she is podcasting, but we will never find that podcast again. So she listened to it, and there is no way we're gonna find that podcast again. Fast forward a couple of days, and a very good friend, Sam Cowan, messaged me. And she said, Brenty, you know, I see how hard you work. I see the things you do. I see how busy you are. And I'm coaching. I'm helping South Africans and maybe people around the globe. Will ask her now if that's the case. But she offered me a free session to go into this burnout thing. And I thought about it. I think I sent Sam a message going, thank you. That is so kind. You're so sweet. I'll take you up on that offer at some point, whenever. And I sat on that, and I thought about it a couple of days, and I was like, hold on, my mom can't find this burnout podcast, and I podcast. I've been doing podcasting for a decade now. Why don't I bring Sam on so we can speak about this real, can I call it an epidemic, a pandemic, a thing that society is going through, which is burnout. And so today on the Good Things Guy podcast, I have Sam Cowan. You know her. That voice, the best friend of Johannesburg for many, many years on radio. We would listen to her all the time. And now she's moved into a new chapter of her life where she's really using her time, energy, and focus to help other human beings. Sam, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. And I feel very welcome indeed.
Absolutely. So Sam and I have known each other for years, and we've seen each other all over media events and spent time together. Sam, where are you now? Because I just said you're not on the radio every day anymore. Are you still doing a bit of radio stuff, or is it just coaching?
So it's just coaching, and I do quite a lot of Facebook Lives as well, because what I realized, I'd taken up coaching sort of as a cottage industry in about 2015, 2016, when I took a big break from radio. And what I loved about it was all my life, my how and my why had always been helping people. And whether I was doing it as a journalist in 702 in the 90s or as part of the Rude Awakening, it was always about making people feel better or trying to make life better. So when I finished in 2016, I thought, well, how do I do that now? And I took up coaching because there was no way I would go to myself as a psychologist or a psychiatrist. But also I wanted tools, practical tools on how to improve my life and other people's lives. And I resonated a lot specifically with women which it just was at the time, who said, well, I've got it all and I don't know what to do with it. And is this it? And were panicking about the roles that they had. Am I a wife? Am I a business person? Am I this? Am I that? And exhaustion. And where coaching really came to the fore with me, because then I was back into radio in about 2018, you know, I can't stay away. And And then COVID hit.
Yeah.
And everybody was hit as though they'd been hit by a car. Whether you actually had been sick or knew someone who'd been sick, it was as though we were all sick because it was every day all the time. And I started a few support groups for people saying, listen, if you feel like your life has gone crazy, let's all chat in a safe session where we can say what it is that we want. And one story stands out regarding this burnout. There was a lady on one of the groups and very well made up. She got up every morning during COVID. She put on her whole face because that was her armor. For those of us sloughing in pajamas, that would have broken her. And the one time she came on one of the groups and she lost her temper. She screamed. She attacked the government, the world, Anthony Fauci, who nobody was until COVID. And what had happened was she had broken a nail and she couldn't get it fixed. And the nail was not a broken nail. This was not someone going, oh, no, I can't fix my nails. That nail for her was the snap in her, almost in her sanity. If I can't get my nails fixed, the world is broken. And so that burnout, that emotional burnout started all the way back then when we constantly felt like we were in survival mode, right? And in a way we were. If I go to the greengrocer and somebody coughs, I could die. And that was the narrative we were all working with. And when we coughed, people would look at us as though they wanted to set us on fire. You know, kill it with fire. We can't get sick. And that stayed with us. And then there was lockdown. Then we came out of lockdown. And there was a part of us all going, it's going to be okay now. We'll go back to normal. But people went back on the roads. And there was this and there was that and there was masks. And over a series of years, even up till now, we have never gone back to what we considered comforting. So what does that do? Well, the best analogy I can give you, and I've got a graph of this, is we are in a state of emotional load shedding.
So that actually took a little bit of sort of the wind out of me, because load shedding is such a horrid thing. Mm. And to say we are in emotional load shedding, those are powerful words.
And that's where we are. So if you look at load shedding, and let's just assume, because I'm very fortunate, I have an inverter and a battery that... men who I've texted and go, look at the size of my battery, mates of mine, like, oh, Sam, is that a KVA or an AGB? I'll ask Martin. It's just big and white and it says on the wall. Anyway, so when we're in load shedding and we hit stage one, we've all got used to it. The same way we did when we got used to the masks. In fact, when you took your mask off, you're like, oh, I feel this air, what's going on? You know, because we were so used to that. So your stage one, let's just say, is stuff that we deal with on a daily basis. So perhaps it's traffic on the way to work. Perhaps there's a specific intersection where you're just a little bit more wary for whatever reason. And we internalize that. That's our stage one. Okay, maybe you go to gym and the traffic's always bad. You internalize it, but you'll park further up. It's a bit annoying, but it's nothing that destroys you. Okay, so much like stage one load shedding, maybe you've got a 2.5 hour gap and you think, mine is between 2 and 4:30 in the afternoon. I just won't do my laundry then. Okay, and we keep that. Then we hit stage 2 and 3. Less convenient, but we can still handle, because let's be honest, we're all raging when we don't have a load shedding day. It's not like, did you get the power cut? It's like, did you get the day off load shedding? So 2 and 3, we're still coping with. But by now, that battery isn't getting a chance to recharge the way it did after load shedding one. Okay? So much like you'll drive home from the gym having had a fantastic workout and not being able to get parking at the beginning was a thing of the past, now we are, that battery is not recharging. And suddenly something will happen. So when we load shed, the world doesn't explode. They just say, sorry, guys, we're taking you to 4 or 5.
Yeah.
There's no writing in the sky. The house doesn't burst into flames. It's one sentence if you've got, you know, the ESP app on your phone. But that one thing can send you into the middle of next week, right? Because now you're thinking, I've got a webinar to do, and I don't know if the battery's going to take, you know, it's going to keep the Wi-Fi going. I don't know this. I don't know that. Will the security fence go? And now what's happening is you're not thinking anymore. Now you're on your emotional roller coaster, because what's happening is that battery never got a chance to recover from stage 2 and 3. And by the time you hit stage 4 and 5, it's that last red bar is flashing.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do we do with that? Well, the great thing is that unlike Eskom, we don't have to rely on, well, unlike load shedding, we don't have to rely on Eskom to turn it back on. But what we do have to do is be mindful of where we sit in our emotional load shedding. And that's why the broken fingernail is so important, because that broken fingernail did not represent a broken fingernail to her. That was the end of existence. In a world where I'm looking after my kids, I'm managing to put food on the table, and I can't get my one fingernail, this tiny thing, done, she was already on borrowed power.
How many people are in that phase of borrowed power? How many people are walking around on a daily basis, almost at the point of just needing a match to light that firecracker?
It's terrifying how many. And the thing is, what, because we've internalized so much and we keep saying we need to be better, we need to do well, one of the things I've always loved about your post is you call it. You say, today is a tough day, and this is what I'm going to do. If you are having a tough day, this might help you. I have so many clients who say, Sam, I'm trying to focus on the positive, but it's not working. And I say, it's time to recharge the battery. So how do you recharge the battery? Well, I'm not going to tell you it's easy, but it is simple. So the first thing to do is to actually write down the facts of where you are at the moment. So let's just take you into complete meltdown. You are trying to get across Bidcoppen and Maine, and the lights are out, and four people dressed in Lumo jackets, but little else, are trying to direct the traffic. And some days you just go, oh, all right, I'm not going to give this the time. And some days you are just beside yourself and so angry and panicked. And on that day, when that's happening, is to take a beat and ask yourself a few questions. Number one, is this as bad as it seems? Is this actually as bad as it seems? Well, you're not dead, and the car is going to go forward, and you're going to be late, and that's it, right? Could I be entertaining this because it's habitual? So when we have stuff that upsets us all the time, we click in. That emotion is sitting there. It's not going anywhere, that anxiety. So it's like, and another thing, I bet the traffic's going to be terrible on Bitcoin. Is it out of habit? When we get so profoundly caught up in this emotional vortex, ask someone, ask yourself, could someone else have a different opinion? And what could it be? So on the days, and I mean, you are at the forefront of people needing all the time, that need. So if you had to feel like nothing I do works, what difference am I making? You could turn to Andrew and go, Andrew, give me a different perspective. And Andrew would be like, it's wine o'clock. Let's go sit in the pool. And to ask yourself these questions, and I keep a list for my clients, and I say, make a WhatsApp group for yourself, put them in your WhatsApp, and as you're sitting there, is this a real scenario or a worst case scenario?
Yeah.
And my favorite one is, how did this come to me, and is my source reliable? I thought the world was in flames because I couldn't get across main road, so hang on a minute, is that reliable? Well, no.
So the other day you did a Facebook Live, which I tapped into by accident. I didn't even know that I was doing it. And then I was on your Facebook Live, and it was early in the morning. And I was like, what is Sam saying today? What is going on in this Facebook Live? And something you said now resonated with the live that you did, because you spoke about, I think the example you gave was driving into a parking lot, and there's a car that steals your parking, and how angry you get. You're like, oh, someone stole my parking. I'm so angry. What happens if in your mind you had to replace that other car with a cow?
That's right.
Is that the analogy?
That's the analogy, the cow in the parking lot. So here's the thing. When we're in survival mode, which is when we're at our most anxious, at our most burnt out, when that battery's flashing, okay? And you know you've maybe got two more lights on in the house for maybe 20 minutes and it's done. So you're frantically trying to do everything in that light. So when you get to that point, emotion takes over. Your neocortex, your thinking brain, has rolled up the towels, put the sunscreen away and left the beach. And now all you're left with is emotion. You're not thinking clearly. And that's why when someone tells you to calm down, it is the last thing you can do. You are not chemically capable of calming down at that point. So if you are driving around in a car park and someone zips in front of you, which is, I mean, I keep using the gym analogy, but it's because we all go. And you're January gym, someone's going to zip in front of you. We are in rage. Everything from the day that has upset us is upsetting us more. And we start attributing things to the person who jumped in front of us that may or may not be true. It is possible they were on their phone and genuinely didn't see you. It is possible that they're in a hurry, or they're fetching someone, or something's there's only one possibility that they just hate you and they want you to suffer. One of many, and it's the least likely, right? And so it's to take away all the things that you think about that person and reimagine it as though a cow had walked into that parking space. Because that cow's not moving either. You can't get out and reason with the cow. The cow's there. And if the cow was there, you'd be like, oh. And maybe if you were really upset, you'd be like, oh, my word. And you'd go find a space. Maybe you'd burst out laughing and instantly pick up your phone and do a TikTok video on it, right? But it's to take away the preconceived ideas that we have that are emotionally based. And you'll know you're in there when you start attributing bad motives to other people. So, for example, you're driving along the road and a big German car swerves in front of you, no lights, nothing. And you're sitting there. And I often do this on my courses that I run. And I say, what are you thinking right now? And nobody wants to use a bad word. So they go, he's not a good driver. And I'm like, come on, tell me what you're really thinking, right? And then they do. And I say, right, what if you found out that the reason he's driving like that is because he was at the office and got a phone call from his security company saying he's just been robbed and his wife and children were in the house? Would you still be angry? Oh, no, not at all. I said, what if he got a phone call saying his father's just died? Would you still be mad? No, not at all. And I say, when you attribute the worst motive, the person you're upsetting is you, because he doesn't care. He's either off to rescue his wife, or he's a horrible person who just pulled in front of you, or he's going to go off and deal with a dead dad. And I always remind people, because I'm very honest about my own failings, because I find if you just create a, you know, I never do this, I'm fine. You're essentially doing emotional Ozempic, you know. I'm not going to kid people I lost weight by diet and exercise if I took a drug. And by the way, I'm not taking a drug, as you can tell. So I always tell people, the day I found out my mother was dying, she'd been given 2 months to live. And I was driving away. I should not have been in the car. And I was crying so hard, I drove through a red robot. I did not even see it. I didn't slow down. I drove straight through. And of course, there was pandemonium, cars hooting. And I pulled over to the side of the road like this. And one guy pulled up next to me and swore and screamed and lost it and drove away. And I thought, he doesn't know. And 99% of people, I am convinced, if he had known she's just found out her mother's going to die in 2 months, would have gone, just be a bit more careful. Shame, are you okay? Most people would do that. But when we are down, when our emotional responses are, you're at battery flat stage, you can't think of anything else except the worst case scenario.
Sam, that is the reality. And I guess that leads me to the simple question. What is causing burnout? Is it because we're working too hard? Is it because of load shedding? Is it because the government make us angry? Is it because the interest rate is mad? Is it everything? Is it one thing? Like, if someone's listening to this right now and they're going, I resonate with that. I'm angry when I'm driving. I get upset when I'm standing in my grocery store and someone stands too closely next to me. I'm snapping at my kids. I'm answering emails with anger. Like, if someone is resonating with all of those things, can we pinpoint it to something that's pushing us into that space?
You've answered the question. It's everything. So I can deal with load shedding, but not the roads not working. I can deal with inflation, but not that my tax has gone up. It's little tiny, it's layers. And one layer for you. So, for example, let me look at it like a streaming service. Maybe you love Netflix and I love Prime. So I'll go onto Netflix and say, well, this is the biggest load of rubbish. I don't know why you pay for it, Brent. It's just so awful. And you go, well, there's nothing on Prime that I'd ever watch. But that's because Prime works for me and Netflix works for you, right? So it's the same thing. What might upset me might not upset you. What it is to go through those stages in your head. What are my stages? So, yes, it's income tax. It's the budget. It's ESCOM. I mean, I read an article and I've determined. So one of my tricks is every time I see an article about ESCOM, I force myself to laugh. I go, ha, 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 that's hilarious. No matter what it is, people in the cars are looking at me, ha, 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 that's hilarious. So the article I read was, because of these searing temperatures we're going to get in Gauteng, ESCOM will be under pressure. So I went, ha, 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 that's hilarious. They're under pressure in winter. They're under pressure in summer. Do we have a season? And of course, it makes sense. Obviously, people are going to use the air conditioners more this week. But in that moment, I was like, ha, ha, ha. And that's what I do. It's a little trick. At some point, someone will put me in a home. But it's to just take those little moments,
yeah.
You know, and And it is everything. And Brent, you know what? The whole world is here. I've got family all over the world, and they will tell me people living in Britain are terrified. They're terrified about the soaring prices of energy. People in Canada are terrified about the possibility of this war with Russia and what it would mean. People in America, I've got a lady and a gentleman client, and they're both terrified, one that the Republicans won't get in and one that they will. So all of our terror is different. And it's about looking at yours and going, what's real? What am I overinflating? Ask the question, who can I ask and what is my source? And then to just take a couple of minutes for yourself and write down this is what it is and what you can laugh about. Cortisone. I've been diagnosed with asthma at 50 years old, for goodness sake. And my face is twice as big as it was 3 months ago. And I was really depressed. I'm like, oh, I've lost weight and I put on so much and now I've returned my face. There's going to be a solar eclipse. I'm like, there it is. Sam, if you turn your face, there's going to be a solar eclipse. That's hilarious.
I was going to say, and you are looking fabulous, so I don't know what you're talking about. But
Yes.
I was going to say that I think the next thing about this burnout stage, and I'm going to put this out there, it I am exactly the same as everybody else, and I have bad days, and I have moments where I'm not in control of my thoughts as much as I would like to be, and where the dragons in my head are much bigger than the dragons in real life. So you come up with these things. So anxiety, whatever that is, panic attacks, whatever the burnout phase is that's pushing me to there. But I believe, and I need you to tell me if I'm right or wrong here, being self-aware is a huge step in managing what energy level you're on and where you're sitting. And I'll give you an example. So last week I had an incredibly busy week with everything that I had going on. So if you write down all the tasks, they were there. I got through them. There was maybe some things that I missed, but I was working long hours. I was emailing at 11 o'clock at night and 3 o'clock in the morning. It was all over the place. That by Saturday morning, I woke up and I looked at the day that I had ahead, a very good friend's 40th birthday. I was meant to have breakfast with friends. There was things that I needed to do, and I just tapped out. I sent everybody a message and I said to them, I am absolutely exhausted. I love you with all my heart. But should I come to the breakfast today or should I come to your birthday? I'm not going to be any fun. So the person you're hoping that's coming is not me, actually. And I'm so sorry. I'll make the breakfast up to you and I will drop your gift off because I've bought you a gift. I was planning to come. And both responses were, I hope you feel better. Don't worry about it. The world didn't fall over. And I spent Saturday filling my cup. And the only way that I was able to make that decision is because I was self-aware that I was on that last bar. I was on that last bar. And should I have pushed myself any further, today would have been a very different conversation.
But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And sometimes we don't want to be honest. We do this. Brené Brown refers to as toxic positivity, where we don't actually register where we are. We go, but I shouldn't feel like this. I need to be better, thinner, smarter, faster. I should be more grateful because the sun is shining outside. But then it becomes something that you feel you should do, and you don't really do it. And understanding, going right now, what is my battery power? Okay, I'm sitting at 20%, 30%. What needs to be done that I need to use that for, and what can I push away? And it can be simple, and everyone's stuff is different. So for you, that tap out was really important. For me, mine's a jigsaw. When life gets difficult, I put a jigsaw on the dining room table. I always joke, some people are born to be wild, I'm born to be mild. I put a jigsaw on the dining room table and I sit there concerned, like working out what the different shades are. And it allows me just to pause from this, oh my word, oh my word, oh my word, panic. For some people, it's going out with friends. Take your moment and go, you know what would feed me is to go out with a friend. And that's your feed. And for some people, it's just, I need to lie on the bed with a box of chuckles, a bag of chuckles, and a series. And then do that. That's your recharge. Whatever your charger is that you need to lay back into. And you're absolutely right. If you can say, I am not functioning on all cylinders, and that's okay. And here's what I'm going to do about it. And it can, like I said, for me, when I have a stressful, I had a terrible experience with a client the other day. I mean, a huge revelation came to her in the middle of a session, and it was very emotional. And we actually went over and we closed off the session. But that still sat with me. And I got a cup of coffee, which is my favorite drink. And I went and stood outside barefoot on the grass. I put my shoes on quite quickly because there were a lot of ants. But I had the dogs around me and I was in the sunshine. And there really is no bluer sky than a high fault sky. No matter where you are, the bluest of skies is the high fault sky. And I just breathed. That's all I did. I just breathed. And that was that 2 or 3 minutes. Just took that battery back up. Just gave it that. It's like a supercharge, you know?
Sam, I think that you have found the perfect position to be in this chapter in your life. And I can tell you that the conversation we had today has made me, without a like, again, I'm being self-aware, but my jaw has relaxed, my shoulders have relaxed. And when you were speaking about standing outside in the sunshine and breathing, I felt myself take a deep breath. So I'm in a good space. I hope the listeners are all in the good space as well. But should someone not be in that good space, and should someone be in that last 10% of their battery level, where do they find you? Where are they gonna go? Where are they gonna get hold of Sam Cowan?
So I'm on Facebook, and funnily enough, I have a website, samcowan.co.za, and some people find me there, but the amount of people who look for me on Facebook and Instagram, so I'm there as well, Sam Cowan. And my email details, my phone number's actually up there, which is hilarious because I say, there's how you get hold of me. And people are like, what's your phone number? I say, it's right there, it's on the site. And I do. I run workshops on burnout. And when we get to that point where we have melted down and just how to bring it back, because it's not difficult. It's simple, but sometimes in forming a new habit, it's not easy. But it is simple and it's doable.
It's simple and it's doable. And I think what I get from this conversation is you need to be getting to that point where you are assisting yourself before you're in that 10%, 5%, 1% phase. Like if you can find it when you are still at 70%, then we're gonna win.
Hey,
Then we're gonna win.
exactly.
Sam, thank you so much for your time today. I know you've got other meetings, you've got clients that you need to get to. I'm not gonna take up too much more of your time. If you're looking for Sam Cowan, I told you in the middle of this interview, I happened upon one of her Facebook lives and it was lovely. It completely changed my way of thinking for that day. I was like looking for cows instead of problems, and it made me smile. It really made me smile. Thank you so much, Sam. Thank you for the good work you do, and thank you for lending that helping ear and your very sage advice to all of the Good Things Guy listeners.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Brendan. Anytime, anytime.
Anytime, go get her number. It's on the website. For all of the listeners, as I say every other week, every week I say it, I'm wishing you only good things. And today, I'm wishing you a little more self-awareness that perhaps if you are in that moment where things aren't lekker, if you can't reach out to Sam, reach out to someone. Just promise me you'll reach out because that's the biggest thing. I love you. I'll speak to you later. Goodbye.
That's it. Wishing you only good things. And for more good things, visit www.goodthingsguy.com. Okay? Love you. Bye.